Hey, Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Oh, all right. I understand why now, me, the mistake of that Hamilton. It's still not right what I gave you. It's because I couldn't rightly get off the street of Google Maps.
Oh, yeah?
It's 103 Hamilton Street, and because I've got so much information in my head, it's Bruno Sedel, close enough to Figo. Oh, my God.
Okay, hang on, hang on. Hang on, let me get
brain.
In there. Let me get in there. Okay, I'm going down to it.
Right, so it was on January the 20th, 1967. That Bruno Sedel, B-R-U-N-O, I'll repeat it, B-R-U-N-O, last name, S-E-I-D-E-L.
Okay, wait.
Sedel.
Yeah, S-E-I-D-E-L.
D-E-L.
At what address?
At 103 Hamilton, which it's right near
103?
103 Hamilton.
Okay. Bruno Sidel, S-E-I-D-E-L.
Yes, S-E-I-D-E-L. Yeah.
Okay, you got anything else I should correct?
That's right. Anyway, oh, my, you know, like, I've got 1,000 and counting pages that I've done. My head is scrambling. I've worked on this night and day and night and day. Anyway, what's so important is what he said and showed me. He showed me the house. I remember well that this guy was a serial pedophile predator. He used to go into the Beverly sauna, which was at Beverly Street and Dundas, and get younger guys that would go into this steam bath to suck them off.
To do what?
Pardon my language.
He would.
Sedel was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Okay, that would get the younger boys that would be in there. He'd confront them, the younger kid, if the kid was alone.
Yeah.
And he'd have the kid perform oral sex on him.
Well, sure, yeah, but he didn't kill them, right?
Who?
He didn't kill these young kids.
No, but he constantly would harass them.
I got it. Yeah.
As I heard the story, oh, that goddamn Sedel again is in the Beverly sauna there, almost on a.
Did Clyde kill him because he was a pedophile?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Clyde is a pedophile himself, right?
He's
a lot of these people that have been victimized become the predator themselves, right?
Yes.
Now, what Clyde says is he went in the house and stabbed him 5 times in the chest and once in the back ritualistically for like 6, right? But sometimes he said he'd do it 8 times, like with the Lisa Poslin's case, which was so-called not solved. It was 8 times, right? And I saw the goddamn scratch marks all over Clyde. I tried to call 911 from the house because he was wiping the blood off the soles of his feet. He got that DNA from the sucker, you know, whose name was Jesus. I'll never forget when Clyde is yelling, "I even set up Jesus." How sick can he get, eh? The guy's name is Nelson DeJesus, who's doing the time.
Yeah.
Can't even get it heard. I was supposed to go in as a witness. I went to the lawyers and told them the whole story.
Haley, before we lose track of it, is there anything else that I should correct in the article right now?
Well, I don't have it before me, but that's the main thing. Okay, now, I don't know if you put the Salvador Trombardi, but that was done on January 6th, just prior to this Bruno Sedel's killing, right?
Yeah.
And that was done with, sorry?
Let me say, we've got so much on individual killings. What I'm very interested in, what we lost track of, was perm index.
Okay, that is the key thing, the perm index. Now, let's get back to the PERM index, because Dick Russell spent an awful long time trying to trace, you know, the spies and the, you know, counterintelligence and all these people. That's the key thing. Now, let's get to Mark Gain, because this is what happened with Dick Russell. He wrote a few times, sorry, Haley, I haven't seen you because I'm doing another thing with Jesse Ventura down at, you know, the Baja, and we're working on a whole lot of books. So at some point in time, we'll touch base, right? Because they did all these books on, you know, what America has lied to the people about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're major books, right? Anyway,
yes.
So I just said, whenever you're ready, my number's the same, we'll touch base or whatever. I haven't changed it since I gave it to him, because I think when I sent you the email, it showed
mm-hmm.
the same number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I haven't sent the attachment, I'll send it anyway. So what's so important is he was on a major find trying to get into Lewis Bloomfield's archives. They've been covered up purposely. Now, the key person, if you Google search, let's get back to Mark Gain, because these are the big players. He was the one that was arrested by the FBI, and he has all these various names here. So Mark Gain, if anyone looks that up, is highly important because of what Wikipedia says about him and anything else. So Mark Gain, because it says right in the anyone looking for that name. Mark Gain, he died in 1981. In Wikipedia, it says an American leftist wing journalist and a Soviet spy. Hello? Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
He's now working for the Toronto Star. He's a very dear friend of Nelson Stahl's father. He comes into Nelson Stahl's father on a continual basis, right? And from there, he goes into the Soviet Union and meets with the hierarchy there.
Yep.
So it says Mark Gain, just at Wikipedia, you see, was an American leftist wing journalist, Soviet spy. He's born in Russia to Russian Jewish parents who had immigrated from Russia. Then you open up a little bit more. And then you see where he was born, Vidochtok. And he had, I'll just read what it says there with Mark Gain. He died in 81. So Dick Russell was trying to get to all of the files and found his files that were in the University of Toronto. So he was born in China to Russian Jewish parents who had migrated from the Russian Empire. He went to school in Vidochtok, and then he was a proponent of the Chinese Communist. Gain wrote for Collier, the Washington Post, and was arrested in the FBI raid on the offices of the Institute for Pacific Relations, IPR, Eurasia office, in June of 1945. Almost 2,000 U.S. government documents from various agencies and departments, including the U.S. State Department and the Office of the Strategic Services, that was the OSS. Remember when I said that Clyde Stavinsky was working with the OSS?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went into CIA. It was marked top secret, were confiscated in the raid. You wonder why my place was trashed, right?
Yeah.
Anything that I had as a physical evidence to substantiate my claim, they kept saying, Haley Otis, do you have the evidence to substantiate your allegations? I said, yes, I do. Stupid me, I should have said, maybe.
What a good question. Yes.
Yeah, fuck. So I say, because I think now the authorities are maybe, caring about it, they said, take out time, get her, you know. That's why I said, Adrian Humphreys was the one who covered my ass. Adrian Humphreys, the national crime writer, knew what I was telling him. So he said, every time you go in there, just call me, right? So he knows about this because I used to tell him what was happening almost on a daily basis. on this case. This is a person that's put together a lot of heavy books on the mob right now. And when I told Clyde about Adrian Humphreys, he said, Adrian Humphreys is on his way out. So, you know, like I told Adrian, this is serious, you know, because you're now documenting and putting the pictures of all the mobsters that Clyde was working with, top guys, mm-hmm. from the Bonanno crime family to the Chicago crime family to the Miami crime family to the New Orleans crime family and on and on. So when these pictures started coming, and there's more and more books, I even called the guy who wrote The Iceman, and he got scared to even talk to me. I said, hey, that's not The Iceman. There's one coming that you haven't even counted the cadavers he's left behind. Because once when I asked Clyde, give me a figure, are you higher, you know, than the Chikakoni or whatever his name is in Russia, you know, all of these, he says, you know, I lost count. Now, we don't even know. I haven't even started counting myself what planes they took down, what train derailment sabotage that's been down, what arsons they've done. You know, there's so much. It's the daily news, of what went on year in and year out. So Mark Gain is a serious contender in this whole thing. On Spartacus Educational, it spills some more beans on him. Mark Julius Gain, there's his full name, had so many aliases as well. The son of a Russian Jewish parents, was born in a small town on the border of the Manchurian and Mongolia in 1909. After the Russian Revolution, Gain obtained work in the Red Army Library at Vidochtok, Russia. In 1926, Gain studied in the Soviet Institute for Teachers, Librarians, and Propagandists. Gain moved to the United States, where he attended Columbia University in New York. After he finished his education, he had spells working for the Japanese, the Chinese news agencies. And during the Second World War, Gain covered the Eastern Front for Newsweek and Time magazine. In 1945, Gain became an American citizen. The following year, the Federal Bureau of Investigation raided Gain's New York apartment and discovered 60 classified documents. Huh? Do you see the link between Ralph Schoeneman trying to get the Kennedy's, you know, autopsy report? 60 well. Classified documents. He later charged with illegally procuring secret government information from the Office of Strategic Services, OSS. Many of these documents revolved around the battle plans for Chiang Kai-shek, who at the time was fighting against the war of Mao Zedong. Although four of his co-conspirators were inducted, charges against Gain were dropped. And he was allowed to resume his journalistic career. What the fuck for?
Haley.
Haley, sorry, I said that.
I want to get on to Perm Index.
Okay. Now, Gain was all part of this shit. So even if you put Mark Gain and Toronto Star...
Yeah.
You see that the link that he was the heavy, heavy writer. They've eliminated that in this Spartacus. You put Mark Gain, South Vietnamese photos, 1965 to 1979. Mark Gain is a Canadian journalist who contributed articles to such publications as the Toronto Daily Star, the New York Times, the Washington Post, inside the Toronto Star. Mark Gain was a roving correspondent and editorial writer. You tell me where the Russians got the information regarding the nuclear, information to set up their plants and then went to Israel. Mark J. Gain. He was arrested for stealing documents. This is all covered up. And Israel wanted to cover it up. So per Mindex, it goes, Mark Gain was an asset for the Rothschild family. So there's your per Mindex. Let's get back to per Mindex there. Let's go into the I have some secrets for you. That is a key bit of information. Because it has the Permindex in there, and it links in to the Bloomfield papers that have to be opened because it is suppressed, and the wife is making it be suppressed for the same type of thing that they're saying in the JFK film. They won't open the Kennedy assassinations until, I think it's 1929. Everyone will be dead by that time. The pressure's got to be
tightened
up.
That was true originally, Haley, but that's been superseded long since the Assassination Records Review Board was created in the wake of Oliver Stone's film and has declassified 60,000 documents and records. There's some still left, but a lot of them have been declassified already.
Okay. So what's so important is when Clyde started talking in September the 21st, 1963, just before that I knew about that Kennedy was going down, he talked about the Permindex, the Centre Mondial Commercial, right? That was the link between Clay Shaw, alias Bertrand Shaw, and David Ferry. Interesting that Clyde told me the secrets, too. The secrets he told me that he had shares in Permindex. He also had shares in the company that I mentioned. Let me think for a second because there's so much information that wanders in my brain here all the time. Para Ordnance. He has shares in Para Ordnance, the company that makes the guns for him. And the guy that used to manufacture them specifically for him was Zoltan. So he has interests in all of these companies, right?
Yeah.
Now, interesting, they also talked about that they've got shares in the companies that are setting up the security in the airports. These guys have got major money to put in, to invest in. But I'll tell you, Clyde said that when I told the heavy secret that Nelson Thal had said, Nelson Thal said the Rothschilds intend to wipe out the entire mafia by closing down the banks. And the stupid WOPs, right, he said, they're so stupid and they're peasants, they've put their hidden bank accounts in U.S. funds. They'll be all screwed. The only ones that will be left are the ones protected in the English pound sterling. So in England is where they've hidden, and those people that have been wise to it. So when I gave that piece of information to Clyde, and he relayed it to the Anthony Camisso in Italy, Anthony Camisso said, "You don't waste Haley. She just gave something of key to them of what the Rothschilds plan, right?" So they could have wasted me at any point. Any time they wanted to. But that's the key. These guys have put their money here, there, and everywhere, but there's an agenda here. And the agenda is to take out the mafia and leave the Rothschilds in place. Now, the companies or the that have been named in David Hawkins' suit, the civil suit, are all the mafia that have been named. Vito Rizzuto, Bonanno family, and on, Enrico Act. That's a key piece, too. David Hawkins did a good job of setting up that civil lawsuit that Field McConnell filed in the Dakota, well, either North Dakota or South Dakota. So when you read that whole piece of evidence that was put in, I have some secrets for you, are very, very important because it links to Clay Shaw, to the Bloomfield Archives, and they haven't been opened yet, and they're pressing. It even came into the Toronto Star where it said they're trying to press the widow to open it up on purposely, and it was instigated by Oliver Stone's film as well, The Axis of Reports. And the statuettes, So, you know, when you read altogether correspondence echoing Lewis Bloomfield's reaction to the allegations making him an associate of Clay Shaw, I saw the meeting at the Dorval Motel right by the airport. Bloomfield, all the big players, that's where they met in AT-68. And this is all because of the situation with stupid James Earl Ray, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, this is sick. Sorry. First time I saw it, sorry, was not 68, 67. 67. It's all to do with, you know, what was happening with still with that James Earl Ray. And that they had to take out that the next person, Martin Luther King. The same group met, right? The next mm-hmm. big takedown in their planned agenda. So Oliver Stone, with his film, shook the major, tree here. So they haven't still been declassified or gotten into. So that's why Dick Russell wanted in to get at the Bloomfield archives.
Mm-hmm.
They're maybe going to even try to destroy them. You know, they have to be seized.
Mm-hmm.
Let no one tamper with them. Don't blow them up. Get them. You know, where are they held? It says here, according to the definition, because the Bloomfield papers are, one, related to the JFK assassination and were obtained by the National Archives, they would be regulated by the JFK Act if only they were in the United States National Archives instead of the Canadian National Archives. Now, that is why Clyde started blowing up the National Film Board of Canada and, you know, seize all the articles in the Canadian National Archives here. So what if, you know, it goes on here, it says, what would then be in effect in such a regulation? Question mark. The JFK Assassination Records Act is clear on the principles that should apply. The act specifies, two, all government records concerning the assassination of President John F. Kennedy should carry a presumption of immediate disclosure, and all records should be eventually disclosed to enable the public to become fully informed about the history surrounding the assassination. And, seven, most of the records related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy are almost 30 years old, and only in the rarest of cases is there any legitimate need for continued protection of such records.
Yeah, but as I've said, we've got a lot of them out now. I want to get your thoughts about Perm Index, Haley, not about the JFK records. That's okay.
Right. Well, Perm Index, what did you want to ask about?
You were gonna lay it on me. We had a conversation, was disrupted when you were about to talk about Perm Index and why it's so important.
Yeah, well, Perm Index is so important is because it relates to international organizations in Italy and the liaison. If you go into the relationship with the archival material, right, of what Perm Index is and who was associated with the Nagel case there, the dimension of it. Perm Index, it goes into various individuals that are all Rothschilds. It goes into journalists that wrote about it. It goes into the players there, the Nagy, the Bloomfield archives have it all, and they've been suppressed of who this Central Mondial Commercial was. And it was like a front company for Perm Index. Like I said, it's just like the Superfract. You see how many names Superfract is covered under now, and it's all over the world? It's a mind-boggling. That's the way they cover themselves. It's Perm Index here. It's Central Mondial Commercial. That that story broke out in Italy about that. That's how the way it came out. Then there was this letter, this Hans Siegelman, right, in Switzerland. These people are in Switzerland, Permindex. Permindex, am I saying it right now?
Yeah, Permindex, yes.
Oh, my God. It's like they were set up in Basel, Switzerland. They had all kinds of companies set up worldwide, but predominantly there in Switzerland and in Italy. And then God knows how they've done it. That's why I couldn't believe when that special agent, Laurie Allen, started cluing in that I was cluing into these massive Ponzi scheme companies and the way they've, pyramided it goes down to this company and that company and another company, and you're trying to retrain all this information in your head, and you can't. They can't even comprehend it because it so quickly, goes down and changed over, and then they put it into a bank account, and then the bank account has got another million names, and then that goes into another pyramid. You can't keep a track of it. One serious thing that Clyde said to me is the forensic accountants can't even keep a track of this. It's like impossible to descramble. Because they set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Index. I mean, the heavy hitters here, from Switzerland to Italy, the Vatican is involved. Every piece of trash, satanic, I tell you, they're pedophiles international. That have done this to every individual. That's why they want your bank account. Now you see your account, now you don't. Your money is not yours, it's theirs. They printed it. They think that you have to work all your life, and then they keep goading you to get a credit card. Do all of your transactions on a credit card. I had to fight. That's another fight I had with this old lady, the one I was telling you about that was married to the Rosenberg, right? Right. And anyway, what happened is they trashed your account. And the bank was the Royal Bank of Canada. One day she gets, and she was too frightened to show it to me. She says, all of a sudden, her entire savings was wiped out to zero. She couldn't quite believe it. But she thought it was a mistake. So I went in there, and I started yelling out loud, and the bank, put your money in a sock. Any of you patrons that are putting your money in the bank account, because they'll be wiped clean. And I said that out loud. And I said, let's talk now. Why is it zero here, please? And I was taken into the office. And they said, we made a mistake, the same account number. I was
right.
Fuck off and give me a fucking other excuse. So this is what they've done. All of the seniors, this is why this Special Agent Laurie Allen saw that I clued into the massive scheme worldwide that these banks had to deplete everybody's bank account. And they were hitting on them with telemarketing schemes that went on and on and on. And the person said, hey, do you want my PIN number? to people that would call cold turkey because they didn't know who was on the other line. Do you know how many seniors that are senile? And then when I brought that information to the Toronto Police, Peter Henry, when I did a major piece of funny piece, I pretended I was that old lady, and I waited for that sucker to call for this happened just before it was down to zero, okay? Some telemarketers were calling her, and all of a sudden it was wiped from, or they wanted what was left at some point, $15,000 in one of her accounts. And they called up and said, you have won. So I played her. Anyway, I gave that tape to the OPP, and it went to Special Agent Lori Allen and then the Toronto Police. It came out that the Toronto Police put away an RCMP officer. Huh? Hello? And those guys in the fraud squad in the Toronto Police never laughed so much in all their life when I played that old lady, because I gave that telemarketer a hard time. Big time. I said, wait a minute, I have to get a piece of paper. But I was giving an accent, and I was spelling all the letters in an accent with a European accent, saying, And then I gave that, you know, to the bank as well, and that's when the bank wiped her thing down to zero. Oh, give me a break. The banks are all entwined with the mob. I've seen them meet together, you know. So anyway, the banks have to be cleaned up. The Federal Reserve has to be cleaned up. It's all entwined still to the Rothschild family. God knows how many names they've covered this under with this document. It's a serious document. I have some secrets for you, because what it goes into is the whole history of Permindex. And Permindex is the key thing. And that came out actually in Permindex, the international trade disinformation, February the 12th, 1967, Rosemary James of New Orleans discovered that Jim Garrison, District Attorney of New Orleans, had spent $18,000 of his own money on the investigation, because they started feeding a lot of disinformation. And that is where they can waylay you this way and that way. But there was this Rome World Trade Center's Centro Mondial Comercial, which was another name in the front for this Permindex. So on and on it goes. It was called, Permindex was affiliated with permanent industrial exhibitions. I got that also from Clyde, right? They had links with Italian fascists. And there was, companies that these guys, these fascists, had, done in a pyramid. Everything is a massive Ponzi scheme, and it's going to come crashing down because it's intended to do so. So I am trying to stop the entire waste of North America, because they intend to do that. The only ones that want to stay alive are the ones at the head, you know, the Rothschild family. There's an agenda regarding all of this takedown. They want martial law. No one can say anything. No one can raise up any flack, because there is no, law that the Americans are under the illusion of. They are secretly going behind closed doors and doing trade agreements with major, countries. And that's what supersedes anything of the sovereignty of a country. Now, a lot of people are bucking. Finland did follow to go, their dollar, that they have, or their currency into the Rothschild, euro. I think a lot of the European countries are wakening up that they fell for the euro. It was meant to crash. Then they wanted to make the American currency in Amerigo, right? I interviewed the guy who exposed that. What's his name there? Who wrote that book? So this is very important that people understand this is a major problem Who can even trace who Permindex is if it's under so many names and pyramided and then sub-pyramided, you know? See if you can find Permindex and where it links to by just Googling anything. All I know is it was known as in Rome, that was linked to the Vatican as Centro Mondale. Spell it C-E-N-T-R-O. Mondale, M-O-N-D-I-A-L-E, Commercial, ACA, C-M-C. Now, just like the FRAC, the C-M-C is another, then give another name under different initials and then goes on and on. Then it's in France, right? Then it's in South Africa. Then it's all over the world. No one can trace this. Believe you me, don't ask me to start tracing this because I don't know. I haven't started researching that, right? Now, if Garrison would have kept on, he would have found at some point right to the link, but he was thwarted to get to the Rothschilds. But, I mean, when people started saying that the Zionists did it, who didn't know who the Rothschilds were? Why couldn't they have found the link between that company and the Rothschild? Is it all in the Bloomfield records? I don't know.
Yes.
Let's see if the pressure of Dick Russell, and maybe if Dick Russell does a thing with Jesse Ventura regarding the disclosing or opening the files of Lewis Bloomfield. Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield. No, these are really, really heavy hitters. Worldwide, international, worldwide corrupt bankers, corrupt government officials. And I'll tell you what makes me laugh is like the Queen going to these great big meetings around the world with all the heads of state, and then they change it. Then this guy in Israel is taken down for fraud. Then the Italian president, Berlusconi, is taken down. I used to all the time when I did the show called him Berlusconi, the macaroni, and the Queen said, "Why does he have to speak so loud?" When they were doing a photo session, he was speaking on the cellular phone, making everyone wait until he came back to do the photo shoot. As far as I'm concerned, the Queen is meeting with head organized crime. Is she part of it? Makes me laugh. This is something that I don't even think that anyone wants to deal with. Who's going to deal with this? Do we have a international police force that can take these people down? Will the FBI take it down? Do they have jurisdiction? If like I believe, that this Interpol has been compromised by the Rothschilds, if they had Clyde's fedora, because the fedora hat, where it had his DNA, went to Interpol. Why would I know something like that? That should be asked, right? Why would I know? So Permindex is a key corporation that has to be entirely all of the records that relate to it and sub-relate have to be somehow found through every country's archives, every single bank account, every single offshore company's records have to be seized, period. And that's where the world takedown will be. That's why they're going to put the super frack, and you might as well, like I said, call it from super freak to super frack. They covered their ass. That's why Ben Suave or Sauve, as I knew him as. I spoke to him as well. And that guy was the head of the organized crime of the RCMP, said it's been compromised. Everything has been, from the judicial system, the politics, to the law enforcement. And how many times that he would appear, in a article in the major newspapers of Toronto, saying the bad guys are winning. They've always won. If you're all part of it, and you guys won't even uncover one piece of evidence, this is now gone bigger and bigger and big. And it all started. What I can't get over is the fight that I had for my life in our backyard to this guy that became the biggest hit person worldwide. A skinny friggin' runt who's got the know-how, but he didn't have the know-how who ordered the hit at the top. I said, you got to be kidding, Clyde. You knew about Clay Shaw and Ferry and Nagy and all these guys that you met with, but you didn't know up the ladder, higher. I said, it's a freaking Rothschild, you asshole. That's who you did the hit for. Oh. Yeah, I said, well, go back to school. So, that's why if you read through the appointment in Dallas, that, whatchamacallit there, Tabinski, was disillusioned and pissed off, right?
Yes.
He says that. He says he chopped and locked heads off in Central America for who, for what? And then that they take me out in the end? Right?
Yeah.
All he was just a pawn in the big scheme, just, for those guys at the top, to want to take everyone's money in a giant Ponzi scheme, change all of the sovereignty of every country that they own the resources. That's where they're going for now, the resources. And with their the trade associations and their trade, what they started to, with the NAFTA and on and on and on, they went into major different ways of again pyramiding and set up another trade organization and another. You can't even keep a track. So it's all to do with the land, the water, the air, all our natural resources, to put them under one portfolio, and the portfolio spells out Rothschild and Sons. After I told this to Clyde, he started thinking, who has to be taken out next? I said, an old lady? Right?
Oh, yes.
Or maybe the Rothschilds? I said, of all the freaking years that you had a chance to take out the real takeout, why didn't you go for it? You talked about the Rothschilds. But he didn't even look up the stepladder of this Permindex and who is at the top. So the secrets that you should know, everyone should know, is in the file there, and it's under subheaded under that lady that what was the name again? Farrell.
Oh, Farrell.
Farrell, right. So that's the major thing. But I don't know, I tried to help the FBI as much as I could at a certain point there. Permindex, the Bloomfield link to the Freemasons, the Rothschilds, part four there, it's in that secret. And it says that even if the information pertaining to Permindex are of the highest interest, the Bloomfield archives are full of other gems. One of the most precious that I would like to briefly expose in the Lewis Bloomfield relation is to the Rothschilds. They are in the Bluefield papers, many documents showing that Lewis Mortimer, well, Lewis M., they call it Mortimer, Bloomfield, was acting as the attorney for the Rothschild family, and particular Baron Edmund de Rothschild. According to the archives, this relation with the Rothschild was dating back to the Second World War, at a time when Bloomfield had been the client for Oscar Federer, the manager of Vitrovice Mining, an iron corporation of Czechoslovakia. Here's where the superfrat comes into the mining companies, right? And an industrial complex held by the Rothschild. Vitrovice was at the time the most popular steel plant of Central Europe. After Lionel Rothschild was arrested by the Nazis, both Goering and Himmler tried to gain control of the company in exchange of Lionel's liberation. Look at that, Rothschild archive. After the war, Bloomfield was still a particular attorney for the family, particularly Baron Edmund. For chance, in 1959, the Montreal lawyer was responsible for incorporating in Canada a major Rothschild company, Tri-Continental Pipeline Limited, a corporation that was granted by Israel 49 exclusivity on the use of a 16-inch pipe line between the Red Sea and the Haffa port. Through the Canadian corporation, Tri-Continental Pipeline was able to save taxes that would otherwise have to be paid to the State of Israel. They've always never paid out taxes. Have you seen the Federal Reserve audited? Has Baron Edmund de Rothschild's full amount of money that he has been audited? So it says here, interestingly enough, on April the 29th, 1960, Bloomfield's letter shows that the Montreal lawyer was not a business attorney of the Rothschilds, but was also a shareholder of Tri-Continental Pipeline. That pipeline, I learned, came from Iran, and they had free access to free oil to Haffa. When the mullahs there, the ones that are holding it now, they don't want Israel to have access to the free oil anymore, to Haffa. So it's not just about, you know, who's got a nuclear plant where, when. It's about the oil. Because they had the under the Shah, they had free access to this. So here it is. What comes out, the certificate. Mr. Joseph Klowowski, the Continental Pipelines Limited, in Rhone, in Switzerland. Dear Mr. Kromanski, I acknowledge receipt of your letter April 13th with enclosures contained herein. I reply to your number 2, the share certificates issued in April and May 1959 as follows. E. de Rothschild, that's Edmund de Rothschild, I think, Bloomfield. 3, Daniel Ricconti. 4, John Furman. 5, Ida Konikoff. 6, Jean Balak. 7, Abraham Zabrowski. Believe you me, Abraham Sapruder is somewhere in there as well. Jesus Christ, it goes on and on. I can't keep the tab of all these corporations that they've set up, and then they've put into other initials and then did a pyramid of that. That's something that's near impossible to try to trace. But everything has to be closed down, and that's why I think the agenda right now, there might be a major agenda to do martial law worldwide before a collapse.
Well, I think that's right.
Yeah. You know, like the main thing is this, like I said, Clyde started thinking about the friggin' Rothschild. And I said, do you realize that he lives right here in Toronto? You can look just like your name is in the phone book. So is Neyermeyer Rothschild and Sons. And they have their headquarters right here in Toronto, in the first Canadian place. David Icke did a lot of tracing. They have something with numero uno. So when Fantino came to trash my place, he has the audacity to have on his car, I had the full license plate, but I don't have it in my head right now, but the last three digits on his license plate were 001. These guys all think they're part of the, you know, first one, number one, God. I hold the cards, you don't. Anyway, this is where in 1968, since the first mention of Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield's name as Crashaw's associate, bits of information and tons of speculation have been published about him. And the archives have it here. It went too fast. But in fact, the Bloomfield was related to the Rothschilds was unknown from the public. So this shows much of the information held by the Library and Archives of Canada are exceptional. For the first time, why is it playing around here? Give me a second. It's like bouncing. Okay. The documents that Lewis Bloomfield donated to the National Archives are in incomparable value, not only because of their international historic quality, but also for the reason on a national personal perspective that they have the potential to repair part of the damage done by a decade of speculation to the reputation of Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield. So what really comes out of it is Permindex will come out of this, because some of the names will be. Who knows if they've already gone into the archives and taken out the real stuff and put in new trash, right? We don't know. We don't know who is covering their ass in the archives. Do they have armed guards? Is it in a safe? Who has access to it? Nobody knows anything. So anyway, this is the key. This I have some secrets for you. It's a very, very important because it starts linking all of the mobsters in Italy, the Vatican, the people that are in Switzerland, the ones that ran the Swiss bank accounts that covered. And then it'll name every single different banks that have been major players. So with this Permindex, as you said, George Mantello, he was one of the players in Italy. Try to find what that company or that man did and did this Ponzi scheme in his name. So when I see people scrambling like, David Hawkins to try to, with the RICO Act, there is no RICO Act. In Canada. We don't have it. It was meant to be set up like that. We don't have, like an associates with the, if you're using your corporations to do illegal transactions. That's why, Mulrooney brought his money that he took cash and put it in a U.S. safe. Vito Rizzuto was caught on a film putting all his money in a sock, cash in a sock. Do you think he's now stupid enough that he puts it in an offshore account? He's got it stashed away in cash somewhere. These guys have been stashing for years, and that's what's coming out of the Quebec corruption inquiry. So major takedown has to happen, that all of this stuff happens, but it might be far too late. We don't know. We don't know if they've already had a planned agenda of a major attack in case of this happening, because these players don't want to lose their money. But anyway, what's so important is Lewis Bloomfield. Key player. He did a lot of the if he was a lawyer for the Rothschilds, that's a key player. He's the one that started the companies and the sub companies and then the sub sub companies and then the sub 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 companies, like I'm saying, it's a pyramid system Ponzi scheme. And who the hell can keep a track of that? I can't. I've tried to. Like, I haven't even gone into Permindex. I'd certainly like to, but that will take up my time. I'm just trying to do this stuff right now. Let's see if these assholes in OPP, RCMP, York Regional Police, Toronto Police will do unsolving of even one homicide that Clyde did. Like I said, the key one was the heavy, takedown of the National Defense Department. Why wouldn't somebody say, you got to be kidding, get her in our office right now from the RCMP, right? Why wouldn't the feds in the United States say, hey, this is document, cover-up? They were part of the cover-up of 9/11. And trash the stuff, because all the players in the government right now are all the ones that are making the, as Clyde says, the big coin. They don't want this stuff to surface. It's kept on and on. Who's running FBI right now? I'll tell you who's running FBI right now. The Rothschild, for God's sake. I couldn't believe it when the Queen gives a general in the United States Army, one of her garters. That's part of the masonry rituals. That means everything has been compromised from the U.S. Army, and the people don't know who they're fighting for, and that's why you've got... See, this is where the Tabinski tried to make a major change. The people that went into the field, whether as intelligence operative or counterintelligence operative or whatever, went into various countries to do the bidding of the Rothschilds. He didn't know that he's working for the Rothschilds. These assholes didn't know when they went into the countries. They thought they were helping, certain names that were thrown at them, that they were fascists, right, that they were Nazis, and they were doing the bidding, for major players, but they didn't know it was the banking cartel still at the helm of it. When they got wise to it, then they got together all these mercenaries, and these mercenaries would throw their weight around and start scaring the bejesus out of the police department, because when he did the confession, the LAPD officer there who took it, right, the major, I think he was in the homicide or whatever, he said he was scared. Because these guys, at any particular time, the veterans who've been disillusioned and have been sent out to put their life on the line, for whom? For why? And I love it when David Icke says a very key thing. When will the American citizen wise up to the fact that they're a sacrificial lamb? And when will they wise up that they're not fighting for their country? There is no country. It's an illusion. And that's why the sovereignty has been waylaid of every single European country and put into this new dollar, the euro, but they lost their sovereignty. And I don't know if a lot of people are now making major plans to be subversive against. So it might be a major takedown, and they know about that. Because people are wisening up by looking on the internet, they see a show, and then all of a sudden it clicks. But I'll tell you, they want to waste a lot of people. And when I saw all of these elderly people that were wasted, they groveled and worked and slaved and put their money in a bank, and then some idiot calls them and they believe it. You have won. Can you imagine somebody calling you and you're 89 and you don't have all your full facilities about you? And when I told the police, I brought all of the stuff that this woman have got. And then the police say, sorry, we can't get her money back or whatever. She was just a sucker that they can't reimburse the money to. So they don't want to solve these cases at all because, like I said, it would cause the biggest, massive lawsuits of all the victim families would raise the wrongfully death of their child, their mother, their father, their uncle, or whatever. They don't want this to happen. It would waste the entire country. Holy moly, I don't know. I can't even think. Do you think I've ever had a Christmas? I've never had a Christmas once I was wise to it. You know what yesterday did for myself as my present to myself? I needed new boot shoelaces.
New boot shoelaces.
Because I don't have the money for boots, so I went and bought them, and I thought, let me teach people about Christmas. Don't go and spend till eternity to put all this shit on a credit card and then work for another year just to pay it off. Why don't you wise up that food and the enjoyment of sitting around a Christmas table and just share the food and with your siblings, your relatives, and be happy? Never mind the spending and the boxing sale, and on and on. It's just a waste of money. It's a waste of everything, of people's lives and... most people are in debt. Americans, every single day the debt increases and increases. And then they buy all kinds of items that aren't even real. The Chinese have learned how to make these purses, that are mimicking the real expensive purses, and they try to sell it. I can't believe that people haven't wised up. The camisos are part of this flea market business that sells trashy crap, and they pocket all this money. You start wondering, how did these people that had no coin in their pocket come into Canada and start getting major corporations and then putting them in other corporations? You tell me. I have no idea how they were, but they started working together, and that is what their code of silence are. And they're all intertwined, the organized crime units, with the Vatican. So, anyway, Permindex. I don't know where to even go from there. The access has to be somehow gotten to. I don't know if it's far too late. Unless people start saying the Federal Reserve is a fraud Ponzi scheme worldwide, let's take it down. How's that going to happen? World Army? Who's going to do the takeout of them? Does the Federal Bureau of Investigation have the jurisdiction wherever they are, in France with their wineries or in England or wherever they are? All I know is one of the families set up, Edmond de Rothschild, had the audacity to come into Montreal and have a whole new bank set up using taxpayers' money to foot the bill to build it. I couldn't believe when I read that article. Holy moly, these guys are major cheap. They want the taxpayer to pay for the building of their bank and then rob everyone blind on top of it? I tell you, I had many a laugh with Clyde because he was so stupid. He agreed with me. And he enjoyed, the more I read to him about Edmond de Rothschild in the book, the Rothschild. It starts, the first chapter I think Clyde was laughing for one whole week, and he wouldn't stop. He started talking about the, let me try to find it here. I don't think I have it straight offhand. But anyway, what it was he starts to talk about money, and then money, and what money means, and then money again, and then on and on. And then he says he has this bathtub that's got gold faucets, and what it means to him, and then how many palaces he's bought. Unbelievable pretentiousness, audacity to put themselves into, again, a position that they think they're God, and everyone should be beholding to them. They were able to waylay kings and queens and whatever to do this gigantic Ponzi scheme, even waylay that another, like I said, the Napoleon. That's why I said to Clyde about the crazy Cosimo Ilia Camiso. He's another Napoleon wannabe, right? A short Napoleon syndrome. I went into one of these mobster houses, and I just about died. My mouth dropped open. He was another Napoleon wannabe. He had enough money that he got through illicit drug deals, that he had all the famous Napoleon paintings in his big castle. The castle is in Rosedale, the biggest goddamn palatial house, almost on the realm of the Thompson family. The house is like, who's got a bigger house and who's got more more important paintings in the house? Oh, my God. Anyway, Clyde wanted to be the enforcer for the Thompson family. I think I'll be their enforcer, he says to me one day. I said, yeah, well, why don't you make it your life's work now to wipe out the entire Rothschild Federal Reserve of Ponzi scheme shit? Because that is where they are holding everybody on the planet with their short and curlies. You know, if you're behooving to them to go to a bank to open up an account, you know, for credit, and then they put their interest, whatever they want, the interest. I don't want a credit card. Stick it up yours, right? I don't need it. As long as you're beholding to them, and then people start buying a house and a car, and then they buy more than they can actually, pay back at any particular time. And now the house that we were living at, my dad bought for approximately 10 grand is maybe almost a million. If you want to buy it now, you never pay it off. So the debts that they have made, they also have it written that if you put anything on a credit card, that they can do variable rates, so they can change it at any time, at any particular whim of theirs.
Yes.
And no one can even enforce that. So it's serious stuff. But anyway, if you want me to start trying to find out who Permindex is, I'll try.
Sure.
But I don't think I'll find other than it's been hidden. I'd have to somehow get into the Rothschild Foundation, right? And have that pushed into, disclosures. How can anyone push that? Let's say all your lawyers here have their own rights made that no one can actually get to them. Why is the Federal Reserve not audited? Why aren't the Rothschilds not audited? How are the players that are in this company and this Permindex that was? Once you become a shareholder, you put your money offshore, right? And you don't pay interest. That was one of the agreements. So all these greedy people like Clyde, also, you do the hit. You put the money that you got for the hit into the bank. And I said, oh, were you paid for it? Now you see your money. Now you don't. holy moly. So I had, you know, many a day where I was trying to teach the head hitman, the one who did the most horrendous shot in the side of the head, wisened up to what it, you know, what he got paid for it, and if he even got paid for it. Because I said, you know what? They've closed down your Swiss bank accounts. If you were stupid enough that you put any of the money, you had it when you had it under in a suitcase underneath your bed. You had it. But once you put the money, you know, in the Swiss bank account, you lost it. So I said, you have to go back to the Ma and Pa robberies, and you have to go to the small takes at the bank. And that's why he's the bank robber now. And he's done a few bigger ones. But, you know, he's pushing hard. I think he lost the money and he got wise to it. Because they closed the Swiss bank accounts down, and he wasn't maybe wise enough to quickly change it over. Maybe they put a line before that I told him about it. Most of these people don't understand that this is really serious stuff. We've all been had. And for me, nah, I doubt whether I'll see any of these guys calling me back, right? Steve Ryan included. He'll just keep on pumping out the stuff on the TV, making everyone think, no, we still have a predator out there. And they'll put it on somebody that didn't do it. Because I said, do you think for a fact, because you got the DNA of a person, that that's the person that did it? I said, he's so wise that he would take the DNA, the sperm of some that a hooker just went through with a John, someone off the street, and then put it in another, and then get those guys scratching their heads. Who is the perpetrator?
He's a brilliant criminal. There's no question about it.
Oh, he got so fast, so wise of how to cover his ass. I couldn't believe it. His brain is always working a mile a minute. A mile a minute. I've watched it. I've watched what he said, what he did. I was like I said, I had the longest time probably to know him better than his own siblings, that his own wives, because the fight started right in our backyard there where he killed the kid. He tried to kill me. And then I tried to get this dealt with, you know, at a later stage at the, you know, Patricia Lupton with that Dolphus pain, and it went nowhere. So it was covered up way back when I thought as a child that I had pieces of major evidence. And it went absolutely nowhere. So I don't know if they want to deal with it. Because, see, if this comes out now to, let's say, this Erwin Harrison Gilmore, the question has to be brought up with the entire family. When did you know about it? Why is it 30 years that this has not solved? Has it been suppressed? How much knowledge did you have? Because when I went to see Detective Sergeant Tony Smith, he had a long conversation with the lawyer that I took, and the lawyer said, everything you've said about Clyde is true. I can't divulge what you or what I had spoken to Detective Sergeant Tony Smith with, but I said, tell me one thing, I said, did all of the stuff and all the people, is that true? And the lawyer said one word, yes. And I said, that's all I wanted to hear. So I know it's been a cover-up, and they don't want to raise it. So this is what he brought up to the lawyer, how it would actually trash the entire government. It would cause national security problem. Because if that hit the front pages of the newspaper, it would be so shocking to the entire world, right? Like, I was just saying the one thing there regarding Clayton Ruby. And if it comes out that Clayton Ruby was trying to suppress the evidence that I was bringing out with the Hovey suitcase and that old lady who was trying to kill my dad using, you know, the botulism or whatever. You know, when you there's canned food has been compromised, and the most deadly bacteria grows more deadly than a cobra. I'll take you out in an hour or two. If that, no one can pretty well live. And this woman was wise to it. So, you know, when you have these serious stuff, they don't want this stuff to come out because it would compromise all the law system. And that's why when the cops are saying to me, hey, Leotis, we will not solve all of them. We want to have a job. We have a family and children.
You don't want to solve all of them. Haley, isn't that outrageous?
Isn't that outrageous?
I mean, what are the Canadian people paying them to do?
Exactly. I mean, why are the taxpayers in America dishing out, money, right, in tax? And, by the way, another wonderful person that I met was the one who did the film The Rose. What's his name? He died of cancer. He also did one of my favorite movies, the one there with the Canadian actor. What's it called? I watch it all the time. Trading Places.
Yeah.
And he went before and he did something on Coast to Coast regarding that you don't have to pay your taxes. It's a fraud, and you can bring it up in court. So he went on Coast to Coast, and he, did a film about it, brought it up in the Cannes Film Festival about the fraud. Let me try to find his name here. I couldn't believe when I met him. I wrote a short email to him, and he answered me in a second. He must have been living on his computer. I said, thanks for making my day with your film Trading Places. Because my mother used to always tell me, Haley, you can't go out without a dime in your pocket. Because if a dog sniffs your leg, he'll piss on it because you know, the dog will know you're broke. So when I saw that major actor who lost everything he had, and then that hooker had to clothe him with creepy-looking clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name here? Trading Places. I have to laugh. That I don't know how many times I watched that film, and I still laugh at that thing. Here, let me just try Trading Places film. And that... And he said, Haley, you just made my day that you wrote this email to me. Because I said, when the guy was so out cold, walking out there, and a dog came up, a lot of the, TV stations have removed that spot. Because the dog comes up to the guy and pisses on his leg. Because he knows he's that broke, right? And I thought, where did this saying come from? This scene that was in the film. Have you ever seen Trading Places?
Yeah, but I don't remember it real well.
Okay, the Trading Places is all about these commodity, there it is. I just found it here. So funny, Trading Places. Dan Aykroyd plays the guy who loses his whole house because two guys make a dollar bet dollar bet, and then he had a he had a servant, and Coleman was his name. The actor Denholm Elliott plays it, and he, you know, they're all uppity. What would you like for dinner, sir? Oh, crepe Suzette. And then they don't finish. He's starting to get it off with his girlfriend. Who was in there was Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, Ralph Bellamy. And the film makes me laugh over and over. It's all about money and how they waylaid these assholes that made the big money by learning, you know, the inside trader information and trashing two guys who were, the, you know, the, let me find out. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Well, it's a great cast. I mean, God.
Yeah, it was so funny. Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche play these two, Ralph Duke and Mortimer Duke, that have been constantly, you know, making money with insider trading for years and years because they find out what's being sold by commodities, orange juice, you know, porks, and on and on. It's all in the film. And this was the guy that I met. Now, he knew about the scam, and this was the producer. Let me try to find the producer here. The producer, and I wrote him an email, and I said, I couldn't believe it. And now I don't dispute my mother's saying, if you have not a penny in your pocket, a dog will piss on your leg. So I was trying to find out from him, where did the scene come about for doing? Here it is, Aaron Russo. Now, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Russo, R-O-S-S-O,
right,
went on Coast to Coast, did a documentary on the Federal Reserve, but was trying to teach people you don't have to pay your tax. That's an illusion.
Well, I think he even reported that one of the Rockefellers told him that this was all fraudulent.
Exactly. It's all a fraud. The people have bought it and keep on feeling fear that they'll be prosecuted, and they won't, because they never, ever put it in actual law. So all of these people have been bamboozled. That's why this whole thing. So when we got to know each other, we wanted to meet, right? And he asked, would you help me to try to present this documentary in Toronto? I said, I'll do my damnedest. And then all of a sudden, he died of cancer. I got a broken arm, and I was going to help him by, when you know, interviewing him on the Agent Ladybug Spyman show. And all of a sudden, he was getting sicker and sicker. This is scams they don't want anyone to know about, because it's a giant Ponzi scheme that they've made for themselves. The tax, the federal tax is an illusion that people are so fearful that they'll be put away. For what? Not even that mobster that did time for the tax evasion knew about the law to raise it with the lawyer. Hey, I don't have to be in here. I don't have to pay this tax. And that's what they're actually trying to trash this Vito Rizzuto that came out of prison, that he didn't pay his taxes in Canada. Well, you know, if his lawyer is wise to it, he doesn't have to. Do you think anyone like Mulrooney or Chrétien or any of these guys have ever declared their proper taxes or declared their full worth? They don't show it. They've got it all hidden. And the fact that there are still these hidden places like the Cayman Islands and the Guernsey Islands, I guess, or the Channel Islands or whatever, still places where they still can put their money. And everyone now is putting it into the Hong Kong-Singapore banking center because it's a major money laundering bank, right, to deal with. These guys just paid a fine, but it probably put a stop to the investigation. So they paid a fine of, I think, $1.something billion, I think. And as soon as I heard that, I said, this is a kiss-off deal. Like, here's your money. Here's our fine. Don't investigate anymore. Piss off. The way this Federal Reserve guy came on last week, what he said was, he said something very, very interesting that I thought. He says the way that the Hong Kong Singapore bank has waylaid the fact that it was intentionally done, he said, we didn't have enough staff, as if it was a mistake. A mistake, get that. We don't have enough staff to enforce, the way that the money is laundered, or if there's laundering. They've been intentionally doing this, for God's sakes. The whole Hong Kong, Singapore bank should be held in accountable, not a payoff stupid fine like that. But anyway, maybe people get wise to it. You don't have to pay your taxes, people in America. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Everyone should be listening to this show, this Aaron show, replayed on Coast to Coast, right?
Yep. Haley, this is terrific. Why don't we give it another go tomorrow? How's that?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we'll do it one more time, and then I'll try to work on what I promised those cops, right?
Yeah.
That was my word of honor that I'll try to do one at a time, right?
Yes.
Anyway, but it's heavy stuff here coming out.
Yes.
And a lot of people, I think, who are wise to it are yourself, Jim Mars, Dick Russell. A lot of the, Jesse Ventura's being clued in by, that he made now friends with Dick Russell because he started doing the research trying to get the Bloomfield files. That's it. A show has to be done about the Bloomfield files and who is Permindex. So that's the show you have to raise with Jesse Ventura on a massive level. Is the Federal Reserve legit? Is it a Ponzi scheme? Do you have to pay your taxes? Holy shit. If you go there with Jesse Ventura and the people wise up, hey, revolution time is on its way. Anyway, have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Haley. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks,
my
friend.
Bye.
Take care. You too. Be safe.
Yeah, I will. Bye.
Bye.